we found that homeless young people were much more likely to present complaining of physical symptoms. But when we looked at their actual diagnoses, so what the nurse or doctor assessed them as actually having, they were no more likely to have a physical health diagnosis than a non-homeless young person. So they're presenting with physical health problems. And that's interesting. We can't necessarily, you know, make any conclusions from that. But one possibility is that they have much less access to your mainstream general practice and kind of checkups and healthcare. What we weren't able to look at closely, and that's partly to do with the way notes are recorded. We don't have tick boxes for this diagnosis or that diagnosis. We had to sift through the actual records. Is looking at their mental health diagnoses and the correlations there. We did notice that they had very high levels of psychological distress based on a standardized questionnaire called the K-10. But in fact, those levels of psychological distress were the same as the non-homeless young people as well.
Why do you think we don't have a lot of data around youth homelessness?
There are two reasons, and they're probably, I think probably the more important reason is we actually aren't very good at documenting or even understanding youth homelessness. So youth homelessness has been an issue that's had some political and social spotlighting on and off for about three decades now. Back in the late 1980s, we had the first Royal Commission into youth homelessness in Australia. We understood back in the 80s that youth homelessness looked different from older people's homelessness, in that the great majority of homeless young people, you wouldn't know that they're homeless necessarily if you were a hospital, a general practitioner, or some other health service just documenting something like an address, because young people will often give you an address, but it doesn't mean that they're not homeless. So most youth homelessness is secondary homelessness. Things like couch surfing, moving between refuges, moving in and out of home. But home itself, i.e. the place where they might have grown up or spent time with a parent or carer, is not a safe place for them. So they leave, they might come back for a few days, they leave again. They're the young people that we mostly see. We don't record that very well. So there probably are homeless young people seeing mainstream services, but they wouldn't know. You wouldn't know that they're homeless. So that's one reason we don't know very much about their physical health.
Do you think that there's a stigma around reporting or presenting as homeless in youth, and that might make it more difficult to document?
Certainly there are young people who find it difficult to talk about the fact that they don't have a home. There are others where that's not the case at all, and they're quite open about their homelessness. However, the stigma is more attached to mental health problems, sexual health problems. Some young people we know become homeless because of their sexual orientation, for example. So the stigma is often associated with the factors that lead into homelessness. They might feel stigmatized by the fact that the home they've come from, there are a lot of perhaps substance use problems or domestic violence or abuse. That's more the stigmatizing factor.
Yeah, and do you think that the lack of data around youth homelessness plays into negative stereotypes?
It's an interesting question. As someone who has worked with homeless youth as a clinician as well as a researcher, the perception that I see out there is that it has shifted, actually. I think there's possibly a bit less stigma. Certainly back in the 90s, I would say that there was a bit of a perception that young people become homeless because they don't get their own way at home. I think that was a bit of a myth. You know, that was some of the discourse that you heard. Well, they're just leaving home because they don't want to obey their parents. I think that has really shifted. I think there's a much better understanding now of the complexities that surround youth homelessness in general. That's my perception.
Yeah, I think that there was some data from the ABS over the last couple of years saying, you know, the majority of people think that what causes youth homelessness is like drug addictions,
yeah,
when we actually know it's, you know, like physical and mental health issues.
Yeah.
So do you think like the data that you're collecting can, you know, lead to a better understanding around homelessness?
I really do. I think what we need is much better data collection systems in services such as these youth health services that can record not only homeless status, but also document their health issues more easily. When we collect information in these youth health services about homelessness status, we don't necessarily then ask why or how did you become homeless, because that's a very sensitive issue, often extremely traumatic for the young person. So it's something that you will get a better sense of over time as you engage with them and as they open up to you. So it's very difficult. But what we do know from early research, ongoing research, and just lots and lots of anecdotal stories is that youth homelessness is complex, and it's certainly not a simple case of just didn't get on with my parents and I'm going to walk out. We know that it involves usually significant abuse or neglect at home. Parents who are not in a position to care adequately for their children. And that's often intergenerational. It can be related to poverty, can be related to mental illness on the parents' part, substance abuse issues that the parents have. And that just gets perpetuated. The young person themselves, when they become an adolescent, which is completely, and this happens, you know, across the board in adolescence, they might start to do some risk-taking. So they themselves might then start to use substances, experiment in all sorts of ways. And sometimes that can become problematic, particularly if they're homeless. Mm. So there is a higher risk of mental health problems, sexually transmitted infections, substance use among homeless young people. But it's not a straightforward linear cause. But there is also the group who become homeless because of sexuality and gender. And they're a group that we're really concerned about. And they can come from any strata, I guess, of society, but who are kind of, I suppose, disowned because they come out. I think that is improving. I think we have a much better understanding and acceptance of diversity. Mm. But it's still the case for many young people.
What kind of questions and what kind of data would you like to see as you go forward that will help paint a better picture of youth homelessness?
Yeah. Well, something that's been around for decades now is a clinical tool. It's a questionnaire, I guess, a form of questionnaire, which is called HEADS. All students, medical students, nursing students, a lot of health professional students learn about this during their training. This instrument teaches the skills to ask a lot of questions about a young person's life, what we call a psychosocial history. And the first part of this questionnaire is around home. And I think what we need to do is teach all health professionals, and including people in emergency departments and anywhere where a young person might present, to have a really good understanding of how to ask about home. Now, of course, for the great majority of young people, they live at home with one or both parents or guardians, and it's pretty straightforward. But if we ask a little bit more around, you know, whether they've moved around a lot, who lives at home with them, how the relationships are at home, just a little bit, probing a little bit more into the kind of qualities surrounding home, we will get an understanding of whether they're at risk of homelessness. I don't think it's that difficult, but we need to train health professionals to know how to ask the right questions. I'm about to start a new project, a sort of pilot project with these same services where we did this original research, where we're working with emergency department staff, we will be, to look at homeless young people's repeat presentations to emergency in Western Sydney. What we're going to be trying to do in the very first instance is talk to the staff who work in emergency about how to capture that information. It's really difficult. You can't just say to someone who walks into emergency, by the way, are you homeless? We ask for an address. A young person who is homeless or at risk of homelessness often will give you an address. And that's the end of the story. So we need to work out ways to unpack that a little bit more, particularly if they keep coming back to emergency and we have concerns about the reasons they're presenting. We think, okay, are they at risk of something here? I think certainly the majority of young people I've met who are homeless are quite happy to use that expression. Yes, I've been homeless for this long or that long. It doesn't seem to me to be a particularly stigmatizing word, but that might just be the young people I've met.
Well, I, from my perspective, if I walked into an emergency department and somebody asked me for an address, I would think, wow, I need to provide an address to get healthcare.
Exactly.
Is that what they think?
I think so, yeah. Or they might take it very literally. Well, last night I slept at this address. You know, it could be something as simple as that, or an address where I can be maybe contacted, because the address they provide might be a friend, you know, that they can kind of refer to. And I think you're right. It's seen as an administrative issue. It's what I need to give in order to get the healthcare I'm looking for. So to inquire more about homelessness, we need to find ways, in those very acute settings especially. I think in general practice it can be done much more readily. But in emergency departments, when it's by definition an emergency or an acute problem, we do need to find ways to understand whether a young person could be homeless. And I think those of us who work with this population work with them because we want to. Some of the people just want to get on and work with a young person and don't necessarily have time, perhaps, to kind of get all the data right. So we need, the answer is in the system. It's how we collect information at the beginning process of getting to know a young person.